Welcome to Under Lock and Key, news and commentary about prisons from the Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League.
After high school shootings, adults start to crack down on youth.
The U.S. incarcerates a greater percentage of its population than any other country, sending more black men to prison than to college. The purpose of this program is to educate about and inspire activism against the American lockdown.
Since the Littleton shootings at Columbine High School, in which Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris killed 13 and then committed suicide, hundreds of students have reported unfair suspensions, arrests, or expulsions to the American Civil Liberties Union. As America scrambles to explain this shooting, students are facing increasing police presence, surveillance cameras, and policies mandating clear backpacks, banning of trench coats in schools, and broader anti-youth controls. Like the so-called anti-terrorist hoopla following the Oklahoma City bombing, the Littleton aftermath stinks of law and order rhetoric. America's feel-good dialogues under the pretense of exploring social problems are merely tools to build public opinion for the continuation of America's anti-crime fervor. Just as oppressed national adults are disproportionately targeted by American police and courts, oppressed nation youth will face the increased wrath of American adults. At the end of the 1980s, the incarceration rate for Latino youth was more than double the overall youth incarceration rate. Incarceration of black youth was more than quadruple the overall rate. In the most recent publicized account of New York Police Department brutality against oppressed nation youth, three New York Police Department officers chased, accosted, and then shot the unarmed 16-year-old Dane Johnson. Following the shooting, NYPD Police Commissioner Howard Sapper said, "You have to wonder why they're running from a police officer, why they're out at 12:30 at night." Let this be a warning to anyone who still thinks America is a free country. If you're out past midnight, the NYPD pigs think you're a legitimate target. Sapper has also argued that the disproportionate stops and searches are not because of race, but because they represented the demographics of known violent crime suspects. This defense of racial profiling ignores the fact that oppressed nationals are arrested more than whites for the same or lesser offenses, convicted more once arrested, and sentenced more harshly once convicted. Racial profiling is supported by injustices in the court and prison systems, not by actual number or severity of crimes committed. Increased social controls against youth should serve as a blasting alarm clock for white nation youth. White youth share in their nation's stolen wealth, but because they have not moved into their professional roles in the imperialist economy, they may be able to see through the veil of privilege to the possibility of a less violent society. Their parents are pushing the world toward environmental destruction through increased militarization. America's skyrocketing prison expansion comes at the expense of education. With a future of increased anti-youth controls, RAIL expects growing numbers of youth to rebel. We encourage the youth to learn scientific analysis of the world. We do not condone stockpiling weapons or making plans to bring the high school angst movie Heathers to life. We understand that youth are going to look around and see that America is thoroughly messed up. The U.S. Secretary of Education said, "This alienation of young people where they become loners is troubling in this complex society we live in. There's no reason for any child to feel alone or to feel alienated," end quote. But being happy in this country is an impossibility, as it requires tuning out the suffering of the world's people. The youth must study history, understand materialism, and organize for anti-imperialist revolution. RAIL's role is to lead youth to understand and articulate their disgust for society. Our strategy towards revolution involves building public opinion against oppression and constructing independent institutions meeting the needs of the oppressed. There are important contributions for the youth to make in this effort. Investigators say that Klebold and Harris plan to kill at least 500 students and teachers, attack the surrounding neighborhoods, and then hijack a plane and crash it into New York City. After a month of hype, a CNN poll claimed that 74% of Americans believe that something similar to Columbine could be possible in their community. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the primary cause of death for young people in America is labeled as accidental. Homicide is the second leading cause of death for American youth and children. But fewer than 1% of homicides against youth occur in or around school. The most dangerous threat to youth is the oppression imperialism is spreading around the world. Secondly, several hundred youth and children are killed by their mothers alone every year. We assume the classification of accidental death includes hidden homicides by parents and other adult caregivers. Lessening the prospects of nuclear holocaust by relieving the imperialists of their armies, instituting socialized child care, and otherwise weakening the patriarchal family will go a long way towards making young people safe. Imperialism is going in the opposite direction. The Louisiana Senate just passed measures that require elementary school youth to respond to adults by using yes ma'am and yes sir. In Wisconsin, Georgia, Texas, Michigan, Nevada, Washington, D.C., and throughout the country, youth were searched. Several schools temporarily closed after rumors of copycat plans and alleged hit lists. 23 schools in Port Huron, Michigan were closed 3 weeks after the Littleton bombing because of a suspected copycat plan. 4 youth were arrested and charged with conspiracy to commit murder, and the 2 14-year-olds were charged as adults. 5 eighth graders in Texas were arrested after other students claimed they had heard a discussion of plans by the youth to copy Littleton. Dozens of similar accounts have been reported throughout the U.S. On May 24th, a 13-year-old boy in Newark was arrested and charged with aggravated assault, making terroristic threats and weapons possession after pointing a toy gun at another student. The students of the school were rounded up and stored in the cafeteria for 3 hours while the school was searched after the incident. In Canton, Georgia, a 15-year-old youth was recently convicted of killing a younger boy in November 1998. The lawyers argue that the youth did not get a fair trial because it followed on the heels of the Littleton shooting. Lawyers argue this affected the verdict of a life sentence. This case shows that the hyped-up fear and irrational adult reaction only hurt youth. A life sentence given to a 15-year-old concedes that America believes violence is an inherent characteristic and that its prison system does not rehabilitate. Adults who cannot develop a system that will allow a 15-year-old the hope of a life out of prison have no business attempting to regulate children's behavior.
American adults, politicians, and others recently participated in a youth violence summit. Planners were aiming for a, quote, therapeutic definition of violence as a public health problem. Adults putting a nice face on patriarchy agree on several measures which further criminalize youth and oppress nationals. Included in measures to increase state control, raising the age for handgun ownership to 21, requiring background checks of gun owners and gun buyers at gun shows, banning youth convicted of violent felonies from ever owning a gun, and expanding gun tracing programs of the government. In part of this wave of expanding repression, adults in Cicero, Illinois, are attempting to illegally evict so-called gang members from their town. Members of the Almighty Latin King and Queen Nation, Sin City Boys, the Latin Angels, are some of the groups under fire in Cicero. Although we don't know much about the others, the ALKQN is a group engaging in serious political organizing that threatens the imperialist system. Anti-gang laws are being used to shut down this political force. Even if these anti-gang laws were only aimed at groups committing acts of violence for the sake of power and wealth, Rail would not support giving the biggest gang in the United States, the police, backed by the biggest gang in the world, the U.S. imperialist military, any additional power. In addition to going after anyone on the streets who looks threatening, many cities are also going after gun manufacturers. On April 26, the city of Detroit filed a lawsuit against 30 gun manufacturers for the havoc wreaked on the city. Similar suits are taking place in Atlanta, Cleveland, Chicago, Miami, New Orleans, Bridgeport, and a federal jury found 9 gun makers liable for shootings in New York in February. At the end of May, several cities around Los Angeles and San Francisco were scheduled to file lawsuits against gun manufacturers as well. Related to the attacks on gun manufacturers, Clinton's gun control proposal included a measure to charge parents with a felony if their children commit crimes with guns. Libertarian lawyer Jeffrey Feiger is representing the parents of Isaiah Scholes, killed at Columbine, in a lawsuit against the parents of the shooters. Feiger claims he may go on to sue the public school system of Jefferson